T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You know, that was their plan for the night. We knew if that was the plan, it's going to be feast or famine. That's the way it goes sometimes against that. Luckily for us, we had enough feast.
Luckily for us, we had enough feast. This is the Falcon Flyover on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. That was, of course, Matt Ryan, who threw 3 interceptions but also threw 3 touchdowns. And the big number for me was only sacked once. It was on the Sendejo all-out blitz there late in the fourth quarter. That was it. The offensive line. Yes, Matt Ryan was under pressure, but they didn't let him be sacked. Matt Ryan got rid of the football enough. Did he have a bad game? Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't a great Matt Ryan game. But did he play just good enough to win the football game? You bet your bottom dollar he did. Let's keep going out to the phone lines here to react. Ray in Athens has been waiting a long time. Ray, let's go to you. Hey, how are you feeling about your 1-1 Atlanta Falcons?
I am feeling amazing.
I love it.
I just want to touch a little bit on, yeah, we didn't get on a really great start, and a lot of people were talking bad about how we were probably just going to be the same as we always have been. But I didn't really think too much about the Minnesota game because Minnesota is a huge difference when they play at home. You saw that today when they went out to Green Bay and they started off really flat. But feel really good. I mean, this was, like you said, a must-win. Starting off 0-2 is a huge hole. I want to give all the credit to our defense. Like, granted, the offense kind of showed up, you know, Matt Ryan, you know, here and there. He can clean up on that, which I'm sure he will. But the defense, I want to give them all the confidence. They're really getting a lot better, really ball-hawking. Dan Quinn is, I think, doing really good now that he's a little more focused on, I think, with the secondary now, because they're really improving. So it was just great. It was awesome. I was at work, and we have like 2 Eagles fans, so it felt really good, you know.
Yeah, Ray, listen, I love everything that you just said there, and I appreciate you waiting on the phone line. What Ray just said is that the defense gets the game ball, and he's 100% right. But I want to go a step further, as we'll keep taking phone calls, 404-741-0929. I want to go a step further. What did we do last week after the Vikings game? And I'll say this, very, very reasonable, the reactions on the Falcon Flyover. People were criticizing Matt Ryan, they're criticizing the defense, but who did they all go after? Who did all of us go after? Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn got ripped to shreds last week because of how unprepared the team was and how the defense got run over like a paper wall, whatever you want to call it. They were awful last week, and it's Dan Quinn's job, right? What did the defense do in this game? It was nearly perfect. Let's just be honest. It was nearly a perfect defensive game by the Falcons defense, all schemed and planned by Dan Quinn. Now, the players executed it, yes, 100%. But this defensive game plan to get after Carson Wentz, to see, finally, Vic Beasley and Tack McKinley playing defensive end like we know that they can. That's what happened in this football game. We have got to give credit where credit is due to Dan Quinn, because here at this station, here at any publication, whatever, in Atlanta Falcon land, the one guy we love to rip is Dan Quinn, because it's easy to do, right? You blew the 28-3. You blew the Eagles game last year or two years ago. You weren't able to get to the postseason this year. It's fair. Fish rots from the head down. You start at the head. You start at the head coach. But what Dan Quinn did, after literally laying the biggest egg, like an ostrich-sized egg, in the first game against Minnesota, as bad as possible, people were ready to run him out of town after that game. If he would have done that same, listen. If the Falcons would have laid an egg tonight, like a literally the same egg from the Vikings game, we would be starting tomorrow morning at 92.9, taking calls and talking about, should the Falcons move on from Dan Quinn? And you know it's true. If they would have laid an egg. And what did they do? They came out and dominated. The defense dominated this football game. Carson Wentz was running for his life in front of one of the best offensive lines in the entire NFL. They are that good. And yes, DeSean Jackson got injured. And yes, Alshon Jeffrey wasn't there. But Carson Wentz was still there. And you saw what Carson Wentz could do late in that football game. Like, you see how good Carson Wentz is. An elite quarterback. I mean, the future of the NFL. You saw him come back in this football game. Yet the defense was there. They stood their test. Even on the final drive where they gave up a blown coverage to Aguilar, thankfully he dropped. And then on 4th and 14, another blown coverage to Aguilar. They could have given up. They said, you know what? We tried. It was 4th and 14. He came all the way down. Deep pass. It's 1st and 10 from the 20-yard line. Wentz is going to carve us up. Zach Ertz is going to carve us up. We can just throw in the towel. What do they do? Four straight plays. Pressure in Wentz's face. The same thing Dan Quinn swore he would work on. Vic Beasley, Tack McKinley. Vic Beasley gets a sack. It's 4th and 8. And they stop Zach Ertz 1 yard short. We have got to give credit where credit is due. Dan Quinn was absolutely fantastic calling and prepping for this football game. 404-741-0929. John out in Clayton is on the line right now. John, how good was this defense in this football game? Talk to me.
Hey, the defense showed up tonight. I fully expected them to after what happened last week, that debacle in Minnesota. I fully expected the defense to show up, and I give Dan Quinn credit, but, I mean, we got to slow our roll how much credit we're trying to give him. I mean, because, like you said, Nelson Aguilar dropping wide open.
No, it's true.
Passes.
No, it's true.
You know, so, I mean, it's not like the defense did enough. The defense did plenty enough to win. The offense was struggling, but, you know, that's why you got both sides of the ball. Matt Ryan's got to figure something out with Dirk Cutter and all these weapons we got. I'm still watching Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco getting guys wide open for touchdowns all over the place.
Yep.
And we can't seem to get Julio Jones open. Was he open when he caught passes tonight?
Didn't seem like it.
I mean, he caught a screen pass. He ran it 50 yards. But was he open? Can we get Julio Jones open is a question. So, great win tonight. Definitely no doubt about that. And we got Indianapolis coming up. But I'm not gonna go crazy about this win. We needed one, especially as we looked so unprepared last week. But great win, and we're looking forward to ending it next week.
Hey, John, listen, I appreciate the phone call there. John kind of walks me down from my heavy praise of Dan Quinn, and I understand. Here's the deal. I give Dan Quinn that much praise because look what he's dealing with right now. Okay, like let's just be honest. Just touching offensively, the big problem right now, I think, with the whole Dirk Cutter, people aren't open, stuff like that, the offensive line is still really, really, really bad. Now, Matt Ryan, again, was only sacked once, and the offensive line played a lot better than last week. It's still so makeshift. And Matt Ryan did get hit a bunch. So not like Matt Ryan has time to wait for Julio to run a 15-yard in to find him wide open. But what Dan Quinn was dealing with from 1 week to the next is what we really have to focus in on and where we really give him the credit. Because, again, what happened last week? They got run out of the building in Minnesota on defense. The defense was atrocious last week. The run defense was terrible. And yet tonight, against arguably a better offensive line and better rushing team than the Vikings last week, the Eagles rushed for, wait for it, 49 yards. That's it. That is massive. And that goes credit to Dan Quinn getting the guys ready to play in this football game. I know it was only 1 week last week. Only week one. But you got beat so bad against the Minnesota Vikings, and you then would have to come back home and take on what I've said, and I will still say it, it's one of the best teams in the NFL when they're fully healthy, the Philadelphia Eagles. And next week at Indianapolis, the schedule was daunting. And you knew there were going to be a lot of Eagle fans in the stands. And we heard it there on the final Falcon drive because it was loud in there. And you knew that 0-2 is a death wish in the National Football League. If they went 0-2, do we really think they would have made the postseason? I mean, we can still sit here and go, well, there's plenty of time left. Sure, sure. But 1-1 is a huge difference. The game that they played today to come away with the win, regardless of, you know, Nelson Aguilar dropping the pass, it's football. This stuff happens. Ball bounced your way. You're at home. This is how the football game works. We be excited. We accept it. And I want to give Dan Quinn credit where credit is due because, again, we were ready to start lighting his seat on fire and making it very, very hot and moving on. And yet here we are, 1-1. You get a win over a football team in the Eagles that this win could determine who goes to in the wild card. If Dallas wins the division, let's just say the Saints win the division, even though we're going to talk about that because that's not looking like it's going to happen. But the Falcons in the end are a 9-win, 10-win, fighting for a 5-6 seed in the postseason. It could very well be the Eagles you are trying to one up to go. And now you have the tiebreaker here. Now you're 1-1, and you can look forward to an Indianapolis game that is going to be difficult, but you can win it because Andrew Luck is not there, and the Colts are not as daunting as they once were. 404-741-0929. Who are you giving your game ball to here? I'm very curious to see who overall gets the game ball. We have got to. We're going to give credit to Dan Quinn, the schemes, and all that kind of stuff. Vic Beasley balled out. Vic Beasley. When was the last time we saw Vic Beasley have a game like he had today? Now, you read the stat line. He has one solo tackle and one sack and one tackle for a loss and three quarterback hits. And you go, okay, that's fine. But Vic Beasley was all over the football field. Vic Beasley was working Lane Johnson, one of the best right tackles in the entire NFL. Tack two, Tack McKinley working on a Hall of Fame left tackle in Jason Peters. He's old, but Hall of Famer. They were getting after Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz was running for his life. They knocked Carson Wentz out of the football game. Josh McCown came in on that final drive because Wentz was in the concussion protocol. The defense has stepped up and has given the Falcons life because we know how bad the offensive line is. And suddenly, maybe not even suddenly, but surprisingly, the Falcons can't run the football. So your only shot on offense is Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, and Austin Hooper, and I guess Mohamed Sanu as well. But you're doing it with Matt Ryan under duress. So the defense has to step up. The defense has to be great. And yes, they blew a coverage late in this football game. And yes, Nelson Aguilar was behind the defense on 4th and 14. You can't have that happen. But I'll be honest, Carson Wentz did his Carson Wentz magic. He was basically sacked, threw it up in a prayer. He caught it. They move on. The defense played great. We got to give them credit, but I want to also give credit to Dan Quinn because Dan Quinn's job is very difficult in Atlanta because we're at the edge, right? I mean, if Dan Quinn doesn't make the postseason this year, many of you are going to call in and say fire him. He could have lost this football game, and if the defense played too good for him not to lose this football game, they win. They're 1-1, and now we're going to get into next. The NFC South, ladies and gentlemen, looks very, very winnable. We will do the NFL flyover. We'll take a whole look around. The rest of the NFL scores coming up next. This is the Falcon Flyover, still rolling live inside the Kia Studios on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and 92.9TheGame.com.
The game is over. Listen in as we analyze today's Falcons game.
On the Falcons Flyover, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9TheGame.com. Live inside the Kia Studios right now. Yep, still going. It's the Falcon Flyover as we get to all y'all's reactions there during the first hour. I took plenty of phone calls there as we trying to see what you guys think about the Atlanta Falcons going 1-1. We're rolling until the top of the hour at 3 a.m., we will then throw to the CBS National Network. I do want to do this segment where we do the call the NFL flyover because a lot of other stuff happened in the NFL today. And if you were driving or you were at your son's birthday party or you had to stay late at work or whatever it was, you might have missed some games. We're going to get you guys the highlights right now and jump into our NFL flyover. I want to start actually in Los Angeles because the game that really matters for the Falcons was Rams Saints. Now, in this football game, Drew Brees gets hurt. Here's the call when the broadcast realized that Teddy Bridgewater was coming in at quarterback for the New Orleans Saints.
Saints trail 3-0, and I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but Drew's on the sideline. He's got his thumb taped up, and Teddy Bridgewater in the huddle at quarterback for the New Orleans Saints. They'll start this drive at the 50-yard line, ball in the right hash. Bridgewater starts under center, I formation. Handoff goes to Kamara, bounces back to the backside, and he'll plunge forward for a gain of 4 yards on the play.
Yeah, it was really the throw. I think Drew Brees, his hand kind of hit Aaron Donald's hand on that third down throw to Jared Cook earlier. And, you know, Drew comes off, he was flexing that hand. He did get it taped up on the sideline, but not able to go. And I don't know if it's something that they can look at maybe at halftime or, you know, how they feel. But they do give Teddy Bridgewater to go to start the series.
Credit Saints Radio there on the call. That is the Saints Radio broadcast realizing what actually has happened with Drew Brees. We do know it is a right hand injury, something to do with his thumb, where he cannot grip the football. And the reports are he could be out until November. So the Saints are going to be without Drew Brees for the next couple of games. In this game, though, the Rams really did dominate, and it was not behind the arm of Jared Goff. Now, he was good, 19 of 28 for 283 yards and a touchdown, but Todd Gurley was actually really special, 63 yards on the ground on 16 carries, including this massive touchdown run.
Jared Goff brings his team to the line with Gurley behind him. He takes the snap, he tosses left. Gurley behind his block, sprinting to the left side, and in! Touchdown, Todd Gurley! Touchdown, LA!
This does mean, you do realize why we're playing that, right? Not just to tell you that Drew Brees is hurt, which again, we don't like the Saints. We don't wish Drew Brees is hurt, but he is. He's going to be out for a while. Now, he should be able to return by the time we play him for Thanksgiving, which stinks, but the big news is the Falcons are tied for the lead in the NFC South with the Saints at 1-1 and the Tampa Bay Bucks at 1-1. Yeah, I would argue the Falcons are the second best, if not the first best team in the NFC South. Even with the three interceptions by Matt Ryan and the blown coverages by the Falcon defense, they looked good enough to get your consideration to be one of the top teams in their own division, especially with what the Saints have done over their first two games. Other looking around the games today and on the NFL flyover here. Oh my goodness, the poor Miami Dolphins. Tom Brady was down in Miami, put up 43 points, and got to try out his brand new toy. You might know his name, Antonio Brown.
Brady takes the snap and retreats. He looks left. He fires the back shoulder. Yeah! Brown! Touchdown, Patriots! Inside the near left pylon.
Welcome to New England, kid.
Two total touchdowns for Tom Brady. That is the Patriots radio network there on the call. They win 43-0. The Miami Dolphins are something. They are. I just can't imagine being a Dolphins fan right now. Let's just all say a prayer and thank the Lord above that we are not Dolphin fans right now, because it is brutal down there, and the Patriots drubbed them 43-0. Another big win in the NFC came via the Dallas Cowboys, who are 2-0 and flying very, very high right now. They were on the road taking on Washington. Dak Prescott bounced back from an early tipped pass interception and threw three total touchdowns, the third of which was this one to Amari Cooper.
Back to his left, second and eight, going to throw. Time over the middle. Down to the five, walking into the end zone. Touchdown to Amari Cooper!
Cowboys radio network there on the call. Cowboys win 31-21. They are undefeated at 2-0. There was a crazy game in Denver, and the Bears are going to end up walking it off. We have the audio for you in a second. Here's what happened. Denver marches down the field, and they get into the end zone, score a touchdown, and they're down one. They decide, 13-14, they decide to go for two. They go for two, convert, but it's a false start, so they have to back all the way up. They decide, you know what, let's just go ahead and kick a field goal. On the field goal to tie the game, with about 30 seconds left in the fourth quarter, Brandon McManus misses, but the Bears are offsides. So the Denver Broncos are able to then go back in and actually convert on the 2-1 conversion. So they're up 15-14, and the Bears have like 30 seconds left and one timeout. They are able to get into field goal position on a very iffy roughing the passer and a very bad spot with 1 second to go. Either way, they were in field goal range for a 50-plus yard field goal to win the football game. So here's how it sounded on the Bears radio network.
He's made it from 40 and 52. This one from 53, right hash. Scales down the ball. O'Donnell the hole from the right hash. Angle to the left. Good placement. Boot by Eddie Pinheiro. Kick to the uprights. Then the kick is good for the win. Pinheiro with a narrow kick to send Denver down as time expires.
Bears win. They're 1-1 in a very crowded NFC North. The Colts are the team we play next week. Atlanta will go on the road to take on Indy. They barely beat Tennessee 19-17. Here's how it sounded when Marcus Mariota had a chance to bring them back on fourth down. He did this.
Mariota on fourth and two, looking, firing, incomplete, off the hands of A.J. Brown, and it's over. The Colts are going to come to Nashville and beat the Titans again. Indianapolis with a great comeback, scoring a touchdown with 4:38 to play. And what a win for them, beginning their season with two difficult road games. They're going to be 1-1 and have a head-to-head advantage over the Titans.
Colts win 19-17. Colts radio network there on the call as we, of course, in Atlanta head up to Indianapolis inside Lucas Oil Stadium for a 1 o'clock kickoff next Sunday. But you think the NFL's weird? And that anyone can win on any given day. Last week, the Vikings looked fantastic. Blow out our Atlanta Falcons. They then head to Green Bay and Lambeau Field. And yes, the score says it was close, but Aaron Rodgers dominated this football game, and Kirk Cousins looked really, really bad. Rodgers' first touchdown pass, this one to Geronimo Allison.
MBS wide to the right side, Rhodes on him. Jake Kumerow flank wide left. Too tight end, make that Gmo in the slot of the left side of Jimmy Graham. Snap to Rodgers in the pocket. Lost the end zone. Gmo's got it. Leaping grab. Touchdown! Geronimo Allison.
Packers defense was fantastic in this football game. First forced two Kirk Cousins interceptions. The Vikings still ran for 198 yards as a team, but it did not matter as Rodgers and the Pack are 2-0. They get the win 21-16 at Lambeau Field. Another surprising game in the NFL as we look around the NFL flyover here on the Falcon flyover was the Seattle Steelers game where the Seahawks headed to Pittsburgh to take on the 0-1 Pittsburgh Steelers. Ben Roethlisberger gets knocked out of this football game with a right arm injury. His replacement was, of course, Mason Rudolph, the former Oklahoma State Cowboy. Rudolph played well in this football game, but it was the connection of Russell Wilson to DK Metcalf that was the difference maker.
Penny is wide to the right. Let's keep an eye on Will Disley, the tight end. Russell takes the snap. Looks far side. He's going to throw downfield. He's got Metcalf. He's got it. Touchdown, Seahawks. DK Metcalf one-on-one down the far sidelines. Good luck. Perfect pass by Russell Wilson. A 28-yard strike. That's number 201 touchdowns for Russell Wilson. What a Hall of Fame career he is having.
Seahawks win 28-26. The Seahawks radio network there on the call. They are 2-0. Quickly, so a couple of other scores here for you guys here on the NFL flyover portion of the Falcon flyover. The Chiefs beat the Raiders 28-10 behind four Patrick Mahomes touchdowns. The Texans hold on late to beat the Jags 13-12 after a Leonard Fournette two-point conversion did not go. Baltimore keeps their hot streak going as Lamar Jackson, I think, was able to connect on three total touchdowns. They beat the Cardinals 23-17. And the New York football Giants fall to 0-2 as the Bills come into the Meadowlands and beat up on the Giants 28-14. You have to wonder how much longer will we see Eli Manning in at quarterback. Finally, the final two scores here on a Sunday. Lions beat the Chargers at home 13-10. Chargers had two rushing touchdowns called back in this football game. And the San Francisco 49ers, 2-0, they thumped the Bengals 41-17 behind 259 total yards on the ground for the Niners. Quick break here. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show with some post-game audio. Let's hear from Dan Quinn, Matt Ryan, and Desmond Trufant on what was a massive win for the Atlanta Falcons. They're 1-1. It's the Falcon Flyover on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Win on three. 1, 2, 3. Let's go.
Taking a look back at today's game with Falcons Flyover.
Our Falcons play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Live inside the Kia Studios right now, it's the Falcon Flyover, the post-game show where we put a bow on everything and wrap up the Falcons' big 24-17 win over the Philadelphia Eagles. Right now, I'm looking at ESPN, and they are showing Julio Jones crossing the finish line into the end zone to win the football game on his 54-yard receiving touchdown there. Great block by Jake Matthews. The Falcons are 1-1. We've said it all throughout this show. This was a must-win, and sure enough, they did win it. Quickly, before we get into some of the post-game audio, Nelson Aguilar, who was the Eagle receiver who was running behind the defense on third down or second down and eight and had a real shot to catch the football and go in for the touchdown, he said in his post-game press conference that he lost the ball in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium lights, which is, you know, we got the little open dome. It makes sense. He said they were trying to, you know, get right and track it before. But that was his reasoning for not catching the football, and I'd have to agree. I mean, it's tough to look up, try and make a catch. But I guess if you're an Eagle fan, you're not listening to the station. But if you are, you have to. You really got to feel bad for Nelson as the Eagles do drop this one 24-20. Both teams now 1-1. All right, let's go into the locker room and hear the post-game audio. Let's start with Matt Ryan on what he saw on that game-winning touchdown pass to Julio Jones.
Dirk had a great call. We had a different concept if they were going to play coverage, which would have been good. But when they came out and it was all out zero, we audibled out of it, got to what we wanted to get to, what we talked about all week and right before we went out for that series. And it was just great execution.
Football's such a cat and mouse game because Jim Schwartz, the Eagles defensive coordinator, was getting home on these zero blitzes. He was coming on those final three or four Falcon drives. He was like, listen, Rasul Douglas can go one-on-one on Julio Jones. I don't care because I'm going to get to Matt Ryan on time. And they did. You saw it create turnovers. All three of Matt Ryan's interceptions came when he was underneath pressure. The problem that I have, if you're looking at it from an Eagle perspective, is like you've shown zero the entire game. You've shown the blitzes the entire second half. Did you need to show it there on fourth and three? I would have liked to disguise it a little bit better because Matt Ryan knew exactly what he was doing and trying to check out of the play and go to fourth and three. I loved the play call by Matt Ryan, seeing what he had. Because if he would have stuck with what he had, you heard it. They had a coverage play called if they were going to sit back, and play coverage. Probably would not have gotten it because the blitz would have gotten there. Checks out of it, alert, audible. And gets it in the hands of his best receiver. It's what they did the past two seasons against Philadelphia. Final play of the game, you throw it to Julio, and you live and die by that pass. And guess what? They got two of them in Philadelphia. We got one of them here. We threw it to our best player. He made a play. They go on to win the football game. Now, we talk about the blitzes because the Eagles were coming. Here's what Matt Ryan had to say post-game about attacking that Philly blitz scheme.
That's what the coverage asks, calls for. You either got to throw it all the way down the field and make a play, or you got to get it out quick and try and, get some blockers in space to do it. It's probably the most all-out zero blitz I've ever seen in a game in my career.
And he's 100% right, because you do not see that much zero. It felt like, because when the Eagles' offense was struggling, Jim Schwartz, and they said this on the NBC Sunday Night Football game broadcast, Jim Schwartz was trying to win the football game by himself and nearly did, forcing three Matt Ryan interceptions because of the pressure. Now, they were able to figure it out in that final play, but Schwartz said, screw it. I'm just going to come, and either they're going to beat us one-on-one or we'll get to Matt Ryan and win this football game. You got to give hats off to the Eagles for fighting in this game to try and get a win. Now, they didn't win it because of this guy named Julio Jones, who some people say might be the best receiver in the league. Listen, the best receiver in the league, here's the audio on what he saw on the game-winning touchdown. Here's what the best receiver in the league said.
My process was just fourth and three, go get the first down. And then once it's parted like the Red Sea, it was like, okay, it's man to safety. Now it's a foot race.
Well, there really wasn't a safety in the middle of the field, so it was, the safety was chasing, but he wasn't going to get it anywhere close. And it was just a great play there by Julio Jones. Great block there on Avante Maddox by Jake Matthews. I would make the argument, if we're trying to be unbiased, that Mohamed Sanu got a little tiny push in the back. But no call. I'll take it all the way to the house on fourth and three, 54 yards and a touchdown. A guy who gets the game ball, maybe not the game ball in the defense, but played really, really well, was Desmond Trufant. Two Carson Wentz interceptions, but he did not credit himself. In his post-game press conference, he credited that front four and the Falcon pass rush for getting after Carson Wentz.
When the rush is rushing like that, it makes it easier for us. And when we covering, it gives them that extra time, to get there. So it's hand in hand. I think we play solid as a defense.
Trufant was great in this football game. I mean, but again, Trufant also had two underthrows. This was the Falcon defensive line the entire time. This was the Falcon defensive line playing like we were hoping they would this offseason. You got to remember back, especially as a host at this station. This station, during the offseason, all we talk about was expectations. And the expectation was, we expect Tack to be good. We expect Grady to be good. We hope that Vic would be good. Well, all three were good tonight. And even the other guys, the chief guy that they added, the whole entire defensive line played very, very well because Carson Wentz was running for his life the entire game. And that's the only way to beat an Eagles team that is stacked on offense and defense. Now, yes, they were without Alshon Jeffrey, arguably their best receiver, and they were without DeSean Jackson, their deep threat, which you can make the argument that you play him again, those guys will be there. It's tough to beat them. But the fact you got pressure on Carson Wentz made a massive, massive difference and was what was really the game, the difference in this football game. Let's actually hear from Dan Quinn now as we're continuing our post-game audio. Dan Quinn, something that will not get talked about enough tomorrow, but is 100% true, they shut down the Eagle running game. Here's what Dan Quinn had to say about that.
that was going to be an important part of it. They've got some really talented runners. And like I said, I've got a lot of respect for their line and the way they've played. That's been a tough, you know, matchup for us in the run game against them. So tonight, it was good to see the defensive line, you know, come to life and add some pressures and some hits and some sacks. And that's usually what happens when you get some turnovers.
49 yards rushing for the Eagles. Here's the crazy number. You know what was the longest rush by the Eagles in this football game? 5 yards. That was the longest run by an Eagle running back in this game. 5 yards. Now, the Falcon running backs didn't do anything either. I mean, Ito Smith had 4 carries for 32 yards, and Freeman had 11 for 22. The Falcon run game is going to be a problem going forward. We need to talk about that going forward. You know, this week we had to have a discussion. When you're not having these crazy games where you're down early to the Vikings or you're trying to hold on and come back against the Eagles, the Falcons are going to need to figure out how to run the football. And we expected Caleb McGarry, that was his one strength, right? Bad in pass protection for now. But run blocking was supposed to be his big deal. And right now the Falcons are unable to run the football. They got to improve on that. But thankfully tonight you didn't really need it because they had the lead and then they, you know, threw their way to the victory. Dan Quinn also talked about just how much or how difficult the Eagles team is. This is an Eagles team that can still go out there and win 10 football games this year. They can still make the postseason. To get a win in week 2 against them at home is huge. Here's what DQ had to say.
5 years in a row, you know, we've played them, and all of them have been, you know, right down to the end of it. And, you know, it was that way again tonight. And so I was proud of the toughness of the team. In the locker room last week, I said we'd find out a lot about who we are, you know, heading into the next week and what we'd stand for. And what we know is that we got a bunch of warriors, you know, who are ready to fight.
This was a must win. And I know 0-2 didn't sound that bad. This was a must-win for the Atlanta Falcons. If they would have lost this game, if Nelson Aguilar catches that pass and they lose this football game, I mean, the whole collective groan of Atlanta at the station and all around would have been massive. Because then you go into Indy 0-2, and you lose at Indy on the road. Going to be tough, you know? I mean, listen, Jacoby Brissett's played well. They won today on the road in Tennessee. You lose that, you're 0-3. I mean, bye-bye, right? 0-3, you're done. There's just no chance. You have to win, you know, you only lose 3 more games the rest of the year to even have a shot. But now that you're 1-1, you can still go lose to Indy next week, or you beat Indy next week and you're in front of the head of the NFC South, because I'm telling you guys, the Saints are in trouble. Drew Brees is not coming anytime soon. And the other two teams in our division, Cam is washed. Let's just be honest. Cam is no longer Cam. And Jameis Winston throws too many interceptions. I mean, the Falcons have a real shot to win the NFC South, even with the performances that we've seen from this football team the first 2 weeks. And again, tonight was good, and I'm giving a lot of praise to a lot of players, but it wasn't flawless. I mean, Matt Ryan threw 3 interceptions. Matt Ryan had a 45 QBR. Matt Ryan wasn't great late. Falcon defense gave up a potential game-winning touchdown pass. Then the Falcons were able to score, and then they should have given up another one, but didn't. I mean, there are things you got to work on. But at least you got the win to go 1-1. Final bit of audio here to wrap up this segment on the Falcon flyover. Dan Quinn on just the overall defensive effort. If we're going to give credit where credit is due, DQ got his defense ready to play.
It's a good offensive line, tough team, and give Philadelphia a lot of credit. They had, you know, their own injuries to battle and deal with, and we knew it would be a tough game. Our crowd was into it, man. They made such a difference for us, for the defense, how loud it was, them going on silent, and so it's a big deal.
It's a big deal. It was a very, very big deal. And yes, the Eagles had some big injuries, but the Falcons, you know, McGarry left. There were injuries all over the place. The medical tent was very, very busy. It was like a tent at one of those festivals like ACL where you're just living there and hanging out there. It was absolutely ridiculous. But again, you can only play the players that are in front of you. You only play the team that is on your schedule, and it doesn't matter. The Falcons got the win. They are 1-1. All right, we'll take one final break here. We will come back, and we will put a bow on this Falcons win. 1-1, 24-20. The Atlanta Falcons beat the Philadelphia Eagles at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Let's look ahead when we come back to Indianapolis next Sunday afternoon. This is the Falcon Flyover. I think on the Falcon Flyover, it flew by very, very quickly as we took a lot of phone calls, got you guys' reaction. A lot of people called in who were in the end zone sitting there whenever Julio scored the touchdown. I can't imagine what that was like. Must have been quite the game to go to, one of the most bizarre ones I've seen, but a win nonetheless. Atlanta Falcons do win 24-20. We'll now go on the road to take on the Andrew Luck-less Indianapolis Colts. 1 p.m. kickoff, of course. It looks like Paul Crane and Harry Douglas will be doing the pregame show at about 11 o'clock Eastern time, tomorrow, or next Sunday on 92.9. So we'll keep an eye on that game. We'll preview that all this week. as the Colts are tough, 1-1, because they got a big win over their rival, the Tennessee Titans, today in Tennessee. As Brissett looks good, but I feel a lot better about this game than I did before the season started, because Andrew Luck scared me a lot. I saw starting off the year and starting with the very first game of the season. Obviously, the Atlanta Falcons playing Kirk Cousins was tough, but then you play Carson Wentz, and then Andrew Luck is brutal. But thankfully, beat Carson Wentz, and no Andrew Luck. It'll just be Jacoby Brissett, and hopefully they should get the win to go to 2-1, because, guys, the NFC South is there. It's wide open. You can, win 9 games and probably win the NFC South, so we'll see. A lot of things to work on. Tonight wasn't flawless, but a win nonetheless, as we got to wrap it up right now and throw to Amy Lawrence, the CBS National Network. For Greg Patton, producing this Falcon Flyover, I am Thomas Mott. As we sign off, big, big Falcon win, 24-20. The Falcons are 1-1. Here comes the CBS National Network. It'll be live from New York City. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Good night, everybody.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.